And so what happens now?
Indeed.
That's the really the
80 million
question.
People are asking that question in Egypt.
And around the world, even more than that. Yeah. It's in light of the announcement from Hosni Mubarak last night, Egypt's president, that he will not run again. He said he wants to hold on to power until his term ends in September. At this point, most analysts agree that's highly unlikely, and that means the country will need an interim leader until they can hold elections. We're joined once again by Nicholas Kristof, columnist for our partner, The New York Times, who's reporting from Cairo, and also Saad Eddine Ibrahim, a human rights activist and a Wallerstein Distinguished Visiting Scholar at Drew University. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good to be with you.
Nicholas, I first want to fact check with you. Is it the same in Egypt, this feeling that it is unlikely Mubarak will be able to stay in power until his term ends in September?
Well, it depends who you ask. If you ask a lot of ordinary people, and certainly if you ask people at Tahrir, they say it's absolutely inconceivable. Of course, people who are more closely tied to Mubarak think that is eminently conceivable. I tend to think that... that this is snowballing. I just don't see how we can hold on that long.
All right. So what is happening today? We understand that there are actually protesters putting up tents and digging into Tahrir Square.
Yeah, that has been underway before. There were some tents before, but there are a lot of people who say that they are going to stay in the square as long as Mubarak stays in the presidential palace. What is a little bit ominous is that there has been something of a rise of pro-Mubarak forces, and there had been an occasional person, that you would hear pro-Mubarak, chanting pro-Mubarak slogans, but beginning late last night, they began to really sort of be organized and suddenly appear, and there's a lot of suspicion that these are people simply organized and, sent in by Mubarak. And at least last night, I was in the square in the early morning hours, and they were running around, and there was a bit of a mob, to them. They were very aggressive. It was like they were trying to pick fights. And in Alexandria, there were indeed clashes between those pro-Mubarak groups and the pro-democracy groups. And I guess I worry a little bit. They're gathering force near Tahrir. And I do worry that there is going to be some kind of a provocation or some kind of clash.
That's Nicholas Kristof, columnist for our partner, The New York Times, reporting live from Cairo. Saad Eddine Ibrahim, let's talk a little bit about the potential for the need for some kind of reconciliation process as Egyptians sort of take stock of the last 30 years and individuals who have been imprisoned and, charges of torture and brutality. How is that likely to play out politically in this transitional period? Revenge, brutality, or are people simply going to accept an orderly process, as President Obama called for last night?
I believe that people would accept an orderly transition. The problem is that Mubarak has no credibility now with the majority of Egyptians. Yes, there are people who benefited from him, and this is a tiny minority, and they, like him, would like to hang on to power to the last minute. The man has lost credibility, and many of the Egyptians who are in Tahrir Square as well as elsewhere do not believe that he is to be trusted. So the question now is not whether they accept reconciliation or not. They just know that he's deceptive. And let me remind you that when he took over power after the assassination of the late President Sadat, he vowed that he will only serve for one term. And look what we have, 30 years. The term in Egypt, according to the Constitution, is 6 years. He has remained 30 years in power. That is to say, 4 more terms than the original one term that he vowed he would be confined to. So if people don't believe and if people are digging in, it is because of that long deception.
Well, Saad Eddine Ibrahim, at this point, there are many people saying that Egypt is beyond bread riots, that what they're really looking for is constitutional fundamental reform. which means that any leadership is not going to be able to give them what they want immediately. I mean, it takes a long time to turn around an economy. It takes a long time to give people jobs and bring down the price of food. Do you feel like that the people of Egypt are willing to wait for that? Or are we simply going into an age, an era of unrest?
No, people are willing to wait. Egyptians are very patient people, but not under Hosni Mubarak's leadership. That has to come to an end, and to come to an end within reasonable time, meaning within days or weeks, not until September, because, as I said, the man is not trusted by the majority. If there is a vice president that he himself appointed, there are stipulations in the constitution that should he step down or should Egypt lose a president, then the Speaker of the House becomes the interim president. And under the Speaker of the House as an interim president, the country is to be prepared for electing a new president within 60 to 90 days.
Well, Nicholas Kristof, to go back to what you were talking about earlier, your concerns over kind of sparks of violence around the country, this is something that a member of the Muslim Brotherhood spoke to yesterday, who said that he felt Mubarak's speech would actually fan the flames and bring conflict into these protests for the first time. Is that the sense that the stalling tactic from Mubarak is what's kind of turned the tide there?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that these pro-Mubarak forces were really organized. I don't think they just, gathered spontaneously because people heard the speech and thought, wow, that's a great president. I think these were, deliberately organized. And the fact that they were so militant and aggressive, both here and in Alexandria, suggests to me that was part of their instructions. That's, the reason for my concern along those lines. And also, frankly, the president's speech had this somewhat pugnacious air to it. He talked about how the demonstrators have been manipulated by forces who were in favor of looting, in favor of destruction of the state. And the state media is still in its own netherworld, just oblivious to Tahrir. So it just doesn't feel to me like a great, glorious moment of reconciliation.
That is Nicholas Kristof, columnist for our partner, The New York Times. We also spoke with human rights activist Saad Eddine Ibrahim. He's now a visiting scholar at Drew University. Thanks to both of you.
Takeaway there, we are pre-post-Mubarak, in the words of Nick Kristof.
Yeah.